This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Laura Leslie, sitting in for Frank Stachow. A green landmark is coming to downtown Raleigh. This spring, the North Carolina chapter of the American Institute of Architects plans to break ground on their new headquarters. The building will occupy an empty strip of land, and it'll be LEED certified. Designer Frank Harmon hopes it'll serve as a model and a resource for every new building that goes up in the Tar Heel State. Frank Harmon is my guest today. He's here to talk more about the new AIANC Center for Architecture and Design. Hi, Frank.
Hi.
And Scott Cutler is with me as well. Scott is with Clancy and Thays Construction Company, who will build the center. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, Laura.
So, Frank, why does the AIA need a new headquarters?
Well, for over 50 years, the AIA has occupied a historic water tower in downtown Raleigh. And for about 30 of those years, has really outgrown the space that's available to it. So it was decided about 5 years ago to look for a new space. This land became available, and the AIA decided, why not be the first chapter in the United States to build our own green building from scratch?
And this is a strip of land that was sort of created, right, when they rerouted some streets downtown?
It's what you might call a leftover piece of land. It's a small triangle created when Wilmington Street was rerouted at its intersection with Peace Street.
So you're right. You're pretty close to the downtown mall there.
Yes.
So what is it, you know, why not just go out into the suburbs and get a big piece of land like a lot of folks do?
Well, that is the typical way to practice, but the AIA wanted to make a statement about building sustainably, and one of the most important ways to do that is to build within an existing city context so that our building can not only draw on the resources of the city but can give back as a place of community and public activity.
Now, you won a competition to design this building out of about 60 entries. Is that right?
That I did. I won a competition.
Thank you.
It was a thrilling night when the competition result was announced. An architect friend of mine had told me, who entered the competition, that he wanted to come in second because he'd get all the honor and he wouldn't have the challenge of building it.
Well, what kind of challenge was it? What kind of parameters did AIA give you for this design?
Well, it's an interesting site because it's so small, yet it required, because of the city of Raleigh, a major parking presence on the site. And, of course, the budget was a very conservative budget. And the AIA has the highest ambitions to make this the most sustainable building that it can in the context of Raleigh. So it's a great challenge. But, you know, the great thing about being an architect is that challenges make us do better, make us perform better.
So what's it going to look like? What will it be made of?
It's going to be made out of North Carolina materials. We really wanted this to be a building that belonged to North Carolina, yet would be a proud ambassador to the rest of the country. It's going to be made out of North Carolina stone. It's going to have a metal roof that's reminiscent of tin roofs on barns in North Carolina. It'll have windows and doors that are made in North Carolina, furniture, plants that are native here. So we wanted it to be a building that seemed like it really belonged in its place, yet it could serve a national audience.
Just to talk a little bit about the LEED certification, Scott, can you explain what that means?
Well, the LEED certification is a set of standards that has to do with energy and environmental design and use of materials and systems that have good payback in terms of their energy usage, our recyclable materials, materials that come from nearby, all of things that help us build sustainably. And this building is going to be emblematic of that type of construction.
How is it going to be heated and cooled?
One of the interesting features of it is that it will employ a geothermal heating and cooling system. So from a construction standpoint, this is kind of fun. We get to go drill holes in the ground 400 feet deep, and we put pipes into the ground, and there's a heat exchange system or cooling exchange system between the fluid inside those pipes and the heating and cooling system inside the building. So it's a very sustainable form of heating and cooling.
Well, I mean, how does that work? I mean, is it what's the temperature differential?
Well, essentially, the temperature of the earth is constant once you get below the surface of the ground at around 55 degrees. So in the summer, we're borrowing that coolness from the earth to cool the building, and in the winter, we're borrowing that 55-degree heat and adding to it to heat the building. It's a system that uses about 25% of the energy that a normal system would use, and we find that it pays for itself in 7 to 10 years. It's what you call an upfront investment that's going to keep repaying in years to come.
It is expensive, though.
It's somewhat more expensive, but it, like I say, it pays for itself very quickly. We've recently installed such a system in the North Carolina Botanical Gardens Visitor Education Center in Chapel Hill.
Huh. So you talked about fitting the building into the landscape, and I understand you're planning to sort of make a park out of it?
Yes. From the beginning, we knew that this was a landscape problem as much as a building problem, and we worked with Greg Bleem, a landscape architect from Charlottesville, Virginia, to develop the concept for the building and the site at once. We wanted the site to be publicly available for all kinds of events. So we've turned what would have been a parking lot into this lively social downtown area where we could show films, we could have a farmer's market, we could build mock-ups of Habitat for Humanity houses. And so the landscape in the building we've thought of is one thing. The building is, in a sense, an edge to the landscape, and it has its own indoor activities, if you will, that match the outdoor activities.
It's going to be native plants? Or?
Native plants, andropogon, grass. We're collecting all the rainwater from the roof, and we're using it to irrigate. We'll have no stormwater runoff. Here's an interesting fact. 40% of the energy used in this country is used in buildings. That's more than the entire transportation network, all the cars, buses, and airplanes put together. Hmm. Most of that energy comes from things like coal-fired power plants. So if we want to make an impact not only on energy use but on global warming, buildings are the most important place that we can start doing that, and this building is an example of how.
Scott, you want to add?
Well, one of the things we like about it, Frank and I have talked in the past about how the old is now new. And while we do have this geothermal HVAC system and some other features that are more modern and forward-looking, there are a lot of things about this building that are just like an old farmhouse. So it's the way it's sited, the way it faces in reference to the sun, the fact that it has cross ventilation.
You can open the windows.
You can open the windows in this building.
That may be the first building in downtown Raleigh.
in 75 years.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so, you know, we have overhangs that create shade. But these are all features that have been around for a very long time, and people understood this long ago. And then in modern architecture, somehow we got away from that. Mm-hmm. But now the old is new again, and we're building a building that's modern looking, but it has some very old features that they're not magic, you know, but they're very sustainable.
And common sense.
Yeah, common sense.
Mm-hmm. Now, you said it's going to face, you know, the sun. It's also going to face the Capitol, and you feel like that's kind of symbolic. Why is that?
It's really important. We think of this building as being an embassy of good design, of how to build sustainably in the future. You know, we're in a recession now, and when we come out of this recession, we're not going to be able to build in the old energy excessive ways that we used to. So this building, A, will be an example of how to build responsibly in the future. But secondly, it's going to be a resource to anyone in North Carolina who wants to find out more about sustainable design, about energy tax credits, about building code revisions that favor sustainable building.
And Scott, you've said you think a building like this is important to the construction business, and why is that?
Well, I'd like to say a little bit first about why it's important to us as a company.
Right.
You know, we certainly have some reasons that have to do with pride. Frank won a design competition, and Clancy and Thais has a lot of respect for Frank as a friend. He's been a mentor to me personally. We've worked together collaboratively, so that part was important to us. And we won the project through a competition also statewide. And so it was a qualifications-based selection for us. So we have a lot of pride in that. But, you know, you have a building that's going to be an example and a beacon for how we think we should build in the future. We certainly wanted our name associated with that. And we want to represent our industry in that effort. But maybe perhaps most importantly, those of us in the construction industry, we breathe the same air and we drink the same water as everyone else. So just as human beings, this is important to us. And we want to be part of finding a responsible solution for how we build in the future. There's another thing, too, for workers in the construction industry. You know that construction sites are not always the most hospitable work environments.
Sure.
And we're very focused on safety on our sites, but some of the byproducts of our work, which are, you know, dust and fumes that are outgassed from new materials, those add stress and are potentially harmful to our people. But a building like this that is built sustainably also has an indoor air quality plan. So our people will be working in a much more hospitable and less stressful environment, and we like that idea.
Wow.
There'll also be almost no construction waste from this project. If you go by a typical construction site, you'll see this small mountain of waste that was created when the buildings were made. And our building's designed in such a way that all waste will either be reused somewhere on the site in the building or recycled.
Wow. You're going to open this up to the public, right?
It's very much a public building. It's dedicated to the AIA Architects of North Carolina as their headquarters, but we're calling it a Center for Architecture and Design so that it's available to all design professions. We hope that school children will come in their school buses up to the door to make it a part of the same tour when they see the Capitol or the legislature to learn about sustainable building.
Wow. Well, Frank and Scott, thank you so much for your time today. This building, you're breaking ground in May, right?
Correct.
Completed next year?
10 months.
10 months. I can't wait to see it when it is ready for the ribbon cutting. Frank and Scott, thank you. Frank Harmon is designing the new AIANC Center for Architecture and Design in Raleigh. And Scott Cutler is with Clancy and Thays Construction Company based in Raleigh. To see computer-generated images of the future building, you can go to frankharmon.com. Just ahead, we'll remember the Pea Island Rescue Men. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill.